You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast, KGYM Sports Radio.
I am Mark Dukes. I will be steering the ship, so to speak, as Scott Unas takes a couple of days of much-deserved vacation. Unfortunately, Buttons can be with us today as well. So, I don't know if we're going to call this a bullpen session or what, but none other than Todd Brommelkamp alongside me today. And Todd, I appreciate you pinch hitting or coming in out of the bullpen or whatever you want to call it.
The good news is we did not get the rough start there on the podcast. We recorded it right as things switched over.
So there we go.
I'm here as much as you need me or as little as you need me.
Bullpen sessions often work, so let's make it happen. And I couldn't recall, other than an Iowa football pre- or post-game show, that we've done a show together. It's immaterial to most out there, but
certainly with not me sitting here.
Yeah. I
mean, with me being the one who punches the buttons and keeps, which is always a scary proposition.
Under the circumstances, thanks for coming along today, Todd.
I know just enough to be dangerous, and we'll leave it at that.
Mike Kolas, Gazette sports columnist, will join us in the back half of the show. And looking forward to talking to Mike after Iowa State posts its third victory in the Big 12 conference season, leading the league right now alongside Kansas State. And Oklahoma State also undefeated, but a half game back. But a lot to unpack from the weekend. But Todd and folks out there, I wanted to start in baseball. And we've got a divisional series beginning right now with Houston and the Tampa Bay Rays. I think it'd be a dandy. And tonight, and you'll hear it right here on 1600 and 102.3 FM, the Atlanta Braves and the LA Dodgers. Could also be a very, very good matchup. But start with Joe Morgan dying, Todd. And Joe died today at 77, topping the news of the day, really, I think. And I had an opportunity to see Joe in 1976 when I was in Ohio for the NCAA Golf Championships. And a bunch of us guys got in the van. And in fact, I think a couple players from Ramapo in New Jersey. You're not going to hear that very often. But nevertheless, we went to Riverfront Stadium and saw the Big Red Machine. And I have to admit, I didn't fully appreciate how really, really good that Big Red Machine was. I mean, you had Bench and Griffey and Perez and Concepcion and Rose and really underrated George Foster. And I don't remember whether the Reds won or lost that night, but an opportunity to see Joe Morgan play. And then later on, he was a longtime announcer. I remember him most for pairing with John Miller, who I really like, really always have liked. But Joe may not have been one of the greatest broadcasters, but he was competent. He was good, in my opinion. And rated the best second baseman of all time. Bill James's abstract pointed that out. He picked Morgan over Rogers Hornsby. And he wasn't the best. He was one of the best. What's your recollections, Todd?
Well, I know him more as a broadcaster than as a player, but it's funny that you mentioned Bill James because I wanted to grab the baseball abstract before I ran out the door today, and I forgot. But if I recall, he has Morgan atop the list, Rogers Hornsby. As second base is a position throughout baseball that it's a relatively weak position. And I think you can make the argument that, especially in the era that Joe Morgan played, he was so far light years better than the competition that I think maybe people didn't really appreciate just how good he was. And I wasn't a huge fan of him as a broadcaster. Somebody said earlier today that Joe Morgan, the broadcaster, could never understand why Joe Morgan, the baseball player, was as good as he was. And I think that's a good way to put it. I'm not going to judge him as the broadcaster today because, as you said, he's an okay broadcaster. He wasn't the greatest. You're talking most likely about the greatest second baseman to ever play the game.
And I meant to look before the show, how many second basemen are actually in the Hall of Fame? You might be able to count them on one hand. I don't know. But 319-366-1600 is our text line, 6429 weighing in. I wonder how many people of a certain age mimic that flap that Joe Morgan did. Why did he start doing that? That's a very good question. His back elbow, which would be his left elbow, before the pitch was delivered, he'd flap it several times. And that was his mechanism, I think, for getting his at-bat started. And he wasn't just a really good hitter. He stole bases. On base percentage was through the roof. But I'm old enough to remember seeing him play, but certainly I would echo your comments on him as a broadcaster, Todd. Competent, but he lasted a while, so he must have been doing something right in the eyes of the industry. Joe Morgan dead today at 77 years old. And more news of the day. The Chicago White Sox part ways with Rick Renteria after, I believe, four seasons. White Sox just starting to round into a very good team. I think they were 10 games over 500 this year. Todd, you can speak to it because he managed without distinction your club on the north side. But they agreed to part ways. What does that mean?
I think it's a very kind way of saying that he was terminated.
Yeah.
Look, if I'm Rick Renteria, I may not set foot back in the city of Chicago again. He certainly does not have a warm feeling for the city after being sacked by both teams. Same situation. You know, he managed the Cubs in 2014. He's under contract for 2015, but Joe Maddon comes along. The Cubs management felt they had a better opportunity to win with a more proven manager. Rick Renteria is sort of the Moses here. He guides them through some very lean years. And now, just as all of these prospects are on the verge of making their way to the major leagues and making an impact, there's A.J. Hinch. There's Alex Cora. There's a very vocal studio analyst who formerly managed the White Sox that you get the idea is itching to get. So they've got some great candidates with a great amount of experience. And I know Rick Hahn said earlier today that they certainly would like somebody with recent experience. So I think that maybe was his way of throwing a bucket of cold water on the Ozzie Guillen talks. But I would expect A.J. Hinch or Alex Cora. If the Red Sox don't rehire Alex Cora, I would think that those two guys would probably be 1A and 1B.
Does Cora have baggage, though? Wasn't he part of...
He was, and that's the reason why neither one of those guys was working this year. But at the same time, they're both winners. And in this day and age, you want a winning manager to take your team along for the ride, and I would fully expect they got rid of Don Cooper too today, which I did note the irony as I was sitting at home getting ready to do the show today with you, that of all days for Scott Unash to not be here, the White Sox sack Don Cooper and the Chiefs lose to the Raiders yesterday. So if you want me to fill the Unash role, I can fill the Unash role. Otherwise, I can just be myself here. By the way, only 20 second basemen in the Hall of Fame.
20, okay.
And beyond, you got Roberto Alomar and Craig Biggio from what I would term the modern era. And then you go back to Ryan Sandberg. They have Rod Carew here as a second baseman, although I know later on in his career he switched over and played a lot of first base designated hitter. Other than that, you've got to go back to the 40s for the Hall of Fame. So it is a position that there are not a whole lot of modern options there. Now, a lot of people think Jeff Kent could be a Hall of Famer. We'll see whether or not he eventually gets his day, but relatively, much like catcher, a small sample size, but you look at Joe Morgan and Rogers Hornsby, the two best players on that list, certainly nobody else holds a candle to either one of them.
314 on the Gym Class, Mark Dukes and Todd Bromekamp with you today. Scott Unash will be back on Wednesday. Hopefully Buttons will return very soon. As far as the White Sox go, that's the subject of our poll question today at kgymradio.com, brought to you by Hawkeye title and settlement, thanks to Steve Anderson and his team doing great work in that area of Iowa City since 2003. Who will be the next manager of the Chicago White Sox? Four choices: Alex Cora, A.J. Hinch, Ozzie Guillen, or someone else. Go ahead and vote KGYMRadio.com. We'll talk more baseball tomorrow as we've confirmed another appearance with Cal Eldred, Kansas City Royals pitching coach. We'll chew on the two division series that are remaining and see what his thoughts are in terms of a World Series matchup. We'll also get his opinion on Renteria and other matters baseball.
Which should be interesting because, remember, they had a beef,
yes,
Kansas City and Chicago. So maybe he will have some insight into that. Rick Renteria is a guy that is widely respected in baseball circles. He's a good guy. I've never came across anybody who said a cross word about him. But there was another manager in Chicago many decades ago who had a famous quote about nice guys finishing last.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't finish last, but sometimes the nice guy gets the short end of the stick. But for what he did, the job that he did, and Don Cooper, I think, is an even bigger piece of news there. With, I believe, 18 years.
Yeah, he was there when that franchise started.
18 years as the pitching coach and the overseeing the World Series win in 2005 and Mark Burley and the development of some of the young talent that they had there in Chicago. That, to me, was the bigger, because he seemed like a guy who was institutionalized,
mm-hmm,
there. You bring in a new manager and you say, you're working with Don Cooper.
On the text line, 9843 weighing in, every baseball team needs a player that brings energy to the game, as Joe Morgan did that every day for 22 years, and I would agree with that. By the way, you know this, Todd. Morgan started, got his major league debut, and spent better part of a decade with the Houston Colt 45s.
Renamed the Astros and then sent to Cincinnati, and the rest is history.
Yeah.
And then in the 80s, sort of bounced around. I remember him as a Giant, the Philly. All those, the Big Red Machine reunited in Philadelphia in the early 80s. And then, if I recall correctly, he ended his career at home. He's a Bay Area native. He played for both the A's and the Giants at the end of his 22 years in the major leagues, two-time MVP, 10-time All-Star, 5 gold gloves. And a guy who could do it all, who could hit, who could run, who could play defense. And again, in an era, especially benefited really well from that AstroTurf era. I think his game uniquely applied to that era of baseball history.
317 on the Gym Class. Remembering Joe Morgan dying at age 77. I believe he had an illness that developed into leukemia and tough latter stages of his life. Beyond that, I mean, there's a Hall of Fame lineup that have passed this year. It's just uncanny, Todd.
It's been a really bad year. Whitey Ford, Tom Seaver. I'll try to go back and see who else I'm forgetting.
Bob Gibson
passing recently. And 2020, I know it just seems, because this has been such a terrible year, but the names here are starting to add up. My initial thought this morning when I woke up was that perhaps a mistake had been made. There are two Joe Morgans, and I don't know whether you recall Joe Morgan, who managed the Boston Red Sox, and is a little bit older than Joe Morgan, the Hall of Famer, and I thought maybe there was some sort of miscommunication along the way, but it was indeed Joe Morgan, the Hall of Famer, who passed away. But the Hall of Fame, the living Hall of Famers, have dwindled here significantly in recent. This one was a surprise for me. I didn't know the extent of his illness. I knew that he had was sick, but kind of a shocker to wake up to this morning.
Plenty to unpack from a weekend in college football and the NFL upcoming here. We've got the Lakers winning the NBA championship, and I don't remember what I was doing in 19, but Talen Horton Tucker of Iowa State is an NBA champion. He doesn't turn 20 until next month. I mean, that's a feather in your cap. Of course, he's riding the coattails of some pretty good players, but he did play in a couple playoff games. And other than that, I mean, the NBA did a nice job with COVID, as did the NHL, and it's done now. So we'll see what happens next season.
How fast do you think those guys got out of Orlando in the bubble?
I think the Lakers team bus left a player back, if I read something right. But, Todd, let's take a break. When we come back, we're going to chew on some football right here on the Gym Class on KGYM.
Along with the crunch of leaves underfoot and the scent of smoke wisping from chimneys, fall brings with it a sense of tradition, the comforting feel of your big, cozy sweater, with a rich fragrance of secret recipe treats trailing from the oven. These are the things you can count on year after year. That's what fall means to the Dickens family. Since the 1940s, they've run Hertin & Stocker as a family business true to the classic fine jewelry store. Though it may be surprising, they still offer a layaway program. Just put down some money and pay each month until you're ready to take your piece home. Of course, it's interest-free. That's tradition, too. During fall, as you enjoy crisp apples, warm candles, and begin your holiday shopping, stop and see what's shining in those famous windows at Hertin & Stocker Jewelers, corner of Dubuque and Washington in downtown Iowa City. Then, step inside and see Willa, Terry, Tim, or Kate. One of them is always there.
As a property owner, you think you should be able to do it all. But even you could use some help. That's what EPM Iowa Property Management does. At EPM, every property matters, whether you own a large apartment complex or a one-bedroom house rental. EPM Iowa keeps your tenants happy and maintains your properties so you get the investment returns you're hoping for, plus more time to spend with family, find other investments, or just get a peaceful night's sleep. Let EPM Iowa manage your rental property. Get to know them at epmiowa.com.
To those who love the grind, run with us on a John Deere Gator UV. Because your daily routine may change, but the land stays the same. There's still ground to cover and a herd to keep in line. Out here, the work never stops. So keep going on a Gator UV with the power to forge ahead. Nothing runs like a deer. Search John Deere Gator for more.
City Tractor is your John Deere lawn and turf headquarters in the corridor. Visit us online or in store at 645 Penn Court in North Liberty.
Iowa's elections need you. We're looking for poll workers for the upcoming election who can assist with voter check-in and balloting to make Election Day a success in all 99 of Iowa's counties. Many employers offer paid time off if you help at a polling place. Even if yours doesn't, your county auditor will pay you for the time you spent training and working. Are you ready to do your part by doing more than just vote on Election Day? Fill out the form at pollworker.iowa.gov to get involved. Sponsored by the Iowa Secretary of State's Office and the Iowa Broadcasters Association in cooperation with this station.
Tune into the Gym every weekday at 5 o'clock with Todd Brammelkamp for Drive Time, driven by Lender Tire.
Coming up Tuesday, we'll react to Monday Night Football. Can Justin Herbert beat a former Chargers franchise quarterback in the Big Easy? Plus, more reaction to LeBron's fourth NBA title. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, Tuesday, 6 a.m. Eastern, ESPN Radio and ESPN News.
Welcome back to the Gym Class today on KGYM. Mark Dukes, Todd Brammelkamp with you. And Scott Unanis returning to his spot on Wednesday. We'll see how tomorrow pans out. Buttons hopefully back soon. One last comment about Joe Morgan on the text line. Our friend Joel in Muscatine. One thing I always appreciated about Morgan as a broadcaster was he took time to talk about pre-pitch defense and defensive communication. Most color guys were pitchers and talked about pitching. It was good to get the middle infielder perspective.
Joe Morgan, dead today at the age of 77.
Well, college football, we know Florida and LSU are mortal. Sorry about that, Cajun Troy, but Missouri knocks off LSU. A&M knocks off Florida. Clemson is who we thought they were. And Bama and Georgia still winning. But this has the makings of a crazy, crazy college football season. And what may transpire by the time the college football playoffs roll around if they do. Meanwhile, Iowa State 3-0 in the league with Kansas State. Oklahoma State, which plays this week before hosting Iowa State, is 2-0. We'll talk with Mike Alas here in about 10 minutes or so, what he saw in Ames on the weekend. And Todd, we also the NFL. Down go the Chiefs. Down go the 49ers in a big way as Miami comes across the country and knocks off San Francisco to the point that Garoppolo had to be replaced by former Iowa quarterback C.J. Beathard. And then Cleveland. I was really impressed with Indianapolis when they beat the Bears, but that shows you that the Bears are just kind of a mediocre team. But Cleveland now 4-1. And worst of all, Dak Prescott's injury, which sort of reminded me of Joe Theismann's leg injury back in the day. It was not pretty to see. And now where do the Cowboys go from there? So an interesting weekend in that regard.
Andy Dalton.
Yeah.
Perhaps the best quarterback in that division right now. And could 6 wins win that division this year? It just may. I mean, that is, if there's one thing to be taken away from this weekend in college football and the NFL, and it's a reminder because we've seen this now in the last couple, anything can happen.
Yeah.
I don't know if you were going to clock out here today at 4 o'clock and head to Riverside and buy a futures ticket on Rutgers to win the Big Ten, but I'll stop short of saying that particular anything could happen. But a very, very bizarre. And then to top it off, you also had the Vikings last night almost beating Seattle and getting out to that lead. And look, Minnesota and Seattle, you line those two teams up side by side, the Seahawks are the better team. So I don't know what to expect tonight. It's the Chargers and the Saints. We've got that game here on KGYM. I know the Saints are the favorites there, but anything goes in 2020.
Indeed. And I have full disclosure, I am guilty of bringing this up on the Gym Class with Scott Unash after the first or second week of the season. I said I broached the subject of the Chiefs going 16-0. How foolish of me. How foolish of me.
I've said it on my show. They are on a different plane. Mm-hmm. And they look like the best team in the National Football League, but it doesn't mean that the best team in the NFL isn't susceptible to a loss here and there. And that Raiders team is a decent team. I would not have picked them to be the one.
Carr had a hell of a game.
Looking at the schedule at the beginning of the season, I thought it was that Baltimore game that was going to trip them up, and that first meeting between the Ravens and the Chiefs was just an absolute lopsided affair, but was not expecting to see that score come across. Still more scoring in the NFL, which is very interesting to see. I think it goes back to not having a preseason. The defenses are still getting used to tackling, and they're not calling penalties on the offense a whole lot. And this is just becoming a very high-scoring, almost arena league football, which I think is fun to watch. I think there's a market for it, but there's also a market for watching a game where there's defense played and there's a little suspense.
Meanwhile, we've got the issue of COVID, and I hate talking about it as much as anyone, but now more games have been shuffled around. 11 teams have been impacted by the movement of the schedules, and I think we're going to have to keep our eye on this, Todd, because I'm not sure it's out of hand at this point, but the more rescheduling you do, the more, again, 11 or 12 teams impacted by games having to be rescheduled.
You look at when the NFL rolled out the schedule, and you look at what the Big Ten was originally going to do with the schedule. They had taken great pains to match teams up with their bye weeks and to have it collapsible. The NFL didn't really do any of that. I think the NFL thought, hey, we're going to go play in week one, we're going to play in week 16, and we'll build in a contingency that if we absolutely have to, we move the Super Bowl back 1 week. And we make it up as we go along. And right now, they're making it up as they go along. And they were lucky last week where it only affected a couple teams. But now you're seeing the domino effect. And if this goes on into a second week, then it starts to get very perilous for the NFL. I can't remember which national program I was listening to, but they make the great point that you're going to have the Players Association stepping in here, because if these games get canceled instead of postponed, those guys start missing out on game checks. That's for in a league where the career lifespan is as short as it is in the NFL, that could be an issue between the players and the owners.
Something definitely to keep an eye on as we roll through what the end of week five into week six of the NFL season. We are getting into some bye weeks. I know your Packers were off this week, the Lions, among others. So maybe that will help. Maybe it won't. We shall see. But again, interesting times. And we'll just have to keep an eye on what's developing in the NFL. Closer to home, I wanted to touch on some Iowa football news, Big Ten football news, Todd. That opener against Purdue has been set for a 2:30 kick on the Big Ten Network. And now we have two Friday games, November 3rd against Minnesota. That's a 6 o'clock kick. And we have Black Friday back with Iowa and Nebraska, November 27th.
Very interesting there. Black Friday was supposed to be scuttled for a couple years, and here we are. If you credit COVID-19 for anything, it's keeping the Black Friday tradition alive between Iowa and Nebraska. I'm more intrigued by the Iowa-Minnesota game on Friday myself.
Yeah, that's a night game on a Friday night. I figured that Iowa may get one of those beyond the Nebraska game, but we shall see. And if you're wondering, none of the other start times are out yet, at least that I've seen. But interesting, 2:30 in West Lafayette against Purdue, and we're 12 days away from the Big Ten campaign. Fingers crossed, getting underway.
I think they're going to do it. I know I was reading an article earlier today from Wisconsin where they said that they've seen a marked improvement in the new testing that they're implementing there that came into place September 30th, where they believe that they are catching it earlier, and that they're putting their team in a best position to possibly make it to the start line, and that's what it's all about here. But 12 days, I said this on Friday, it seems like a month or longer away. It's going to be a very nervous 12 days, I think, for Kevin Warren and the folks in the Big Ten. But I think they get there.
University of Iowa, meanwhile, has announced its latest round of COVID-19 PCR tests for the week of October 5 through 11. Remember, I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, Todd, that they're testing every day now with the rapid testing, and the results are of 652 tests, 642 negative. These include tests on student athletes, coaches, and staff, as has been the case since late May. So to date, 247 positive tests, one inconclusive, and over 6,000 negative tests in the Iowa football program. So I know Iowa, among the rest of the Big Ten teams, trying to do their very best in taking certain protocols and procedures to avoid any shutdown. All right, let's go to a break, Todd. When we come back, we'll talk with Mike Halas, Gazette sports columnist, right here on the Gym Class.
Time to refresh your space? Alexander Lumber or Answers by Alexander would be proud to help with impeccable, well-born cabinetry. The Alexander design team respects and can work with any budget. And in addition to stunning kitchens, they also create home offices, mudrooms, laundry rooms, bathrooms, even living rooms with built-ins. Design with the experts at Alexander Lumber, 4340 420th Street, or Answers by Alexander, 1534 South Gilbert Street, both in Iowa City.
You already know Network Computer Solutions protects your network and computers, but did you know they can also protect your business with a security system? NCS offers everything: camera systems, door access, key fob entrance cards, even 24-hour video surveillance. They understand how important security is to your work and your people, so they customize every element for you. For a free consultation and site review, call NCS at 247-7223. 247-7223. Network Computer Solutions. They're the missing piece to your IT and security puzzle.
Making Moves is brought to you by LinkedIn Jobs.
After falling to the Los Angeles Lakers in the 1982 NBA Finals, the 76ers needed to find the right player to build the ultimate winning team. In September of 82, they acquired restricted free agent Moses Malone. They went on to rack up a 65-17 regular season record and followed that up with a 12-1 postseason record. Malone won the regular season and NBA Finals MVP award.
Build your winning team today. Go to LinkedIn.com/sports.
Adding a leader you need right when you need them. That's how sports teams get ahead and how your business can too. LinkedIn will match the right talent with your open roles fast. Post a job and you'll get great candidates with the right mix of skills, interest, and experience. So every hire you make is a win for your business. Go to LinkedIn.com/sports and get $50 off your first job post. That's LinkedIn.com/sports. Terms and conditions apply.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Welcome to AutoZone. What are you working on today? So you've got an oil change coming up? We're here to help you get it done. Right now you can get 5 quarts of Castrol GTX conventional motor oil and an STP oil filter for just $27.99. And with our next day delivery and free same day store pickup, you can get it fast, your way. Getting the job done just got easier. Restrictions and details at AutoZone.com.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Listening to this Allstate commercial about savings might be the hardest thing about getting those savings. Save for simply becoming an Allstate customer. Save more for adding DriveWise. And save even more for driving safely. Visit Allstate.com or contact your local agent for a quote today. Allstate. Minimum effort, maximum reward.
Not available in every state. New customer savings based on early signing discount. Drive-wise is an optional feature. Savings vary based on how you buy. Subject to terms and conditions. Allstate Fire and Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates. Northbrook, Illinois.
Welcome back, everyone, to the gym class on this Monday. A little blustery, but pleasant day outside here in eastern Iowa. Coming to you on 1600 AM, 102.3 and 106.3 FM right now. Tonight, 6:30, the Chargers and the Saints on 106.3 and 107.5. If I have that right, Coach's Corner is tonight as well.
Yeah, I believe what normally takes place is that we will join in progress the baseball game after the Iowa State Coaches Show is over. So football gets its own dedicated frequencies, and we'll start with the Cyclones on 1600 AM and 102.3 FM. And then once that show wraps up, I believe 8:30, if I'm not mistaken, we'll join in progress the Dodgers and the Braves.
Excellent. Thank you. Right now we want to bring in our Monday regular, Mike Halas, Gazette sports columnist. You can follow him at Halas, H-L-A-S, on Twitter. Take a look there. A lot of great stuff on Mike's feed. Thanks for taking the time today, Mike.
Certainly.
I noticed you just put out a tweet that we were talking about Joe Morgan passing earlier, and you, as I did, had an opportunity to see Morgan, and gosh, what a team that was.
You know, I remember. I guess you remember the players like everything else. You remember when you were a kid, they were godlike, immortals, and the players of today, I kind of shrug my shoulders at, even though they're probably better. But Joe Morgan was just an absolutely sensational player. I mean, somebody with as much pop in his bat and as much speed as he had, and that he played such a smart second base. Great player on a great team, legendary teams. I mean, the dude played with Johnny Bench and Pete Rose and Tony Perez and Dave Concepcion and George Foster. It was just the most incredible lineup. So that was when I was a kid, and it stuck with me, even though I didn't like him.
Cesar Geronimo wasn't a bad player either, but I didn't hold a candle to those guys.
Yeah, I only go 6 or 7 deep. I can't get down to Cesar Geronimo.
At any rate, let's talk Iowa State football. And don't look now. Yeah, blue skies, as the headline said in Sunday's paper. Blue skies in Ames at 3-0 after a 31-15 victory over Texas Tech. And I'm thinking to myself, Mike, where do you start? I mean, Purdy, Breece Hall, the defense, right on down the line.
Yes. Well, I guess I would start with the defense because that's not a commodity in the Big 12 that is omnipresent. Oklahoma certainly doesn't have a great defense. Texas doesn't have a great defense. Texas Tech is terrible. I can tell you that from firsthand experience. Iowa State's is decent, and decent is what's really good nowadays. I mean, I listened to the Alabama-Mississippi game coming home from Ames on the radio, and oh my God, You know, I mean, it took me to get to Chelsea before anybody made a stop on defense. May have actually been Van Horn. I don't remember. Defenses are behind the eight ball this year for various reasons. I think some of them are legit. And Iowa State's playing some defense, especially run defense, although it is a team defense. They matched up well with Texas Tech's receivers. Texas Tech was a team that put up good yardage numbers against Texas and Kansas State, and it was bottled up totally until the fourth quarter Saturday.
And I hope you had the over on Missouri LSU as well, as a lot of those high-scoring games very prevalent in college football. But
it makes you wonder what's going to happen in week one of the Big Ten, because the offenses simply are ahead for various reasons. I mean, the fact that offensive guys can get together and, you know, at least throw the ball to each other in the off season, and there was no spring practice for the defense.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and they're jumping right in a lot of these leagues and playing conference games instead of playing, pick one, Florida A&M. So they're playing against first-rate offensive players right off the bat, and the offenses are winning big. I wonder what's going to happen when Iowa plays Purdue. It might be 48-41.
We've been talking about Brock Purdy the last couple, 3 weeks, and not really delivering his A game, but he very much did that this week, I thought. And that bodes well for the Cyclones.
Yeah, the difference between Purdy this year and last year is he was hurt last year, and they wouldn't tell you that, but he was. And I thought he was a shell of himself in their bowl game against Notre Dame. He wasn't the guy I saw the year before. The year before, he ran with the ball and did it with great effectiveness. And it was a weapon for the Cyclones. And last year, they simply didn't do it. He did it again Saturday. Had 7 carries, averaged 6 yards a pop, and it added yet another dimension to an offense that already has the premier running back. And it has a lot of guys who can catch the ball, and it's got a tight end core that might be the best in the country.
Yeah, I thought about that when I was watching the game on Saturday, that Iowa has gotten so much publicity out of the tight ends, and rightfully so. But you've got a triumvirate of Kolar and Sainer and Allen that I don't know that anybody else in the country can match.
No, and this is a relatively new phenomenon over there, of course. Matt Campbell took over there, they didn't have any tight end. They didn't have any scholarship tight end. And so the first year they didn't do much, but last year Kolar was absolutely great. And this year, I mean, Kolar is a matchup headache for everybody. But Chase Allen, who's been a really good tight end, but he just hasn't done a lot of receiving, has become a good receiving tight end. And their tight ends had a total of 10 catches on Saturday against Texas Tech. And then you throw in Hutchinson, the wide receiver, who is making his mark as their number one guy. And they got a variety of other wide receivers. So they do have weaponry, and then it all starts with Breece Hall, who is, you know, they put him on the field and he gets 100 yards.
How good is this team, do you think? Obviously, it can contend for the Big 12, but you look at Oklahoma State on the horizon, Kansas State maybe a little surprising, but the Wildcats at 3-0 as well. Iowa State has that victory over Oklahoma in its back pocket, but Texas also on the horizon. So, I mean, I'm not sure how many losses you can afford in the Big 12.
Well, I think 7-2 will get you into the league title game.
Mm-hmm.
If assuming you win the tiebreaker, which they would have on Oklahoma. It's a long ways to be talking about that. They've played one-third of the league schedule. But, I mean, you know, they've had three opponents and they've knocked them off. So there's daylight between them and Texas and Oklahoma. Oklahoma State, hey, maybe that's the best team in the league.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know. Oklahoma State also has a competent defense. But I like Iowa State's defense. I like their balanced offense, and their offensive line's a lot better than I thought it was a month ago. Against Louisiana, I thought, oh my gosh, it's still not a good offensive line. And it has improved with each viewing. And I mean, there were holes Saturday, and Matt Campbell says he likes them, and coaches don't tend to tell you they don't like something, but when they tell you they do like something, it's usually the truth.
Michael Oskins, that sports columnist, joining us on the Gym Class today at 3:46. Mark Dukes and Todd Brommelkamp with you today, navigating a Monday show. What did you make of, if anything, the news out of Iowa today? Game times and setting two Friday games, including an interesting one at Minnesota on November 3rd at 6 p.m.
Well, it's funny. There was all this hubbub, and it was good copy and good talk for you guys when the Black Friday series was put on hiatus, and it turns out it's not. At least it's going to happen again this year, presumably. I mean, we're talking about the day after Thanksgiving, which is like a million years away in this different world of ours. But so there's some continuity there. The Friday game at Minnesota doesn't surprise me because Minnesota is embracing these Friday night games. They want them. And I understand that because they're in a pro market, and even when they're good, which they certainly were last year, they have to fight for every scrap of attention up there. And if it means playing on Friday night, they'll do it. A 6 o'clock start means it's not a horrendous thing. I mean, an 8 o'clock start on a Friday night in November would be a horrendous thing. So we'll see how that goes. But, you know, the Big Ten wants Friday night games.
Mm-hmm.
And if these games do well in the ratings, they're going to be a fixture from now until, you know, the planet stops spinning around. Because everything comes back to TV ratings and TV money. And if these, I don't know how many Friday night games the Big Ten's going to have. I think it's five. But if they do well, you're just going to get more and more, and probably on a weekly basis.
Last week we had a marathon news conference with the Iowa football coaches. I don't know one that didn't speak, but did you have any takeaways out of that session?
Well, I left halfway through. I mean, I heard a couple of the offensive coaches give their apologies and their, you know, their efforts to say the right things in lieu of the news that broke in June. Football-wise, I don't know. You know, I don't remember any state secrets slipping through. Maybe mm-hmm. Todd could remind me of one.
Nope.
Okay.
They're interrupting.
They like their players. They've seen a lot of improvement. They work hard, and there's a lot of work to do.
You're interrupting our Penn and Teller act here, Mike. I was just going to sit here and be quiet for 15 minutes.
I saw Penn and Teller once in Las Vegas. It was really a good show.
I love him every time I get a chance to see him. But I want to ask you a basketball question, Mike. Iowa Gonzaga has been announced since we last talked, I believe. And I said at the time, I applaud both teams for taking on this game, especially Gonzaga. Gonzaga doesn't have to come to South Dakota to play a basketball game. But it's obviously a very good matchup, and I wondered your impressions about that.
Well, Gonzaga's philosophy is we'll play anybody anywhere. It's always been that way because they have to. They're in a conference where nobody sees them. The games are on at, like, 2:30 in the morning our time. You need a compass to find most of the teams that they play. So in the non-conference, they load up on great games. And they're going to play Baylor 2 weeks before they play Iowa, and Baylor's another top five team, at least preseason. So you're used to seeing Gonzaga doing it, but what this is Iowa getting to a place, at least hype-wise, where the country thinks that it belongs in games like these. That hasn't been the case in a long time. So that's a thing for Iowa fans to be interested and excited about. Playing Gonzaga in Sioux Falls on a Saturday in December, it beats what's been out there on a lot of other Saturdays in December over the years. And it's a no-lose situation. If you go to Sioux Falls and lose to Gonzaga, nobody's going to say you're a bunch of bums. But if you beat them, it's like, okay, you've done something.
Well, you said you saw Joe Morgan when you were 18 years old. I saw him when he was 20. A 19-year-old is an NBA champion, and of all the players that Iowa State has sent to the NBA or the professional ranks, Talen Horton-Tucker wins the championship with the Lakers. That's something when you're only 19 years old.
Yeah, and he didn't have to lift a finger doing it. He was in.
Hey, he played in two games. Come on.
He was in sweats for the finals, but he did play in an earlier series against Houston and played well. And he's going to be a rotation player for them, and I think sooner rather than later. I mean, he's an NBA player. He's legit, and that's one more on the Iowa State side of things. I know that Hawkeye fans like to pick at everything they can against Iowa State, and in many ways the facts support them, but when it comes to the NBA, there's not a lot of flying of the Hawkeye flag.
Jeez, what are you going to do next week with Iowa State off and Iowa not beginning yet?
That's this week.
This week, yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. What do you suggest?
Penn and Teller may be playing somewhere.
I hope they're masked up.
All right, Mike, let you go here. We're getting late on time, but appreciate you joining us as always. We'll talk about something next Monday.
Well, it'll be the start of the college football season in Iowa City.
Very true.
You know the last time they opened on October the 24th?
Opened?
Yes.
Oh,
man. It was 1891, and they beat the crap out of Cornell College.
All right, your homework, what's Iowa's record against Co? Get back to me on that next week, okay?
Something and O.
All right, Mike, thanks very much.
Okay.
Mike Alas, Gazette sports columnist, joining us on the Gym Class. You can read his Penn and Teller reviews on Twitter, at Halas, H-L-A-S. Take our last break, and we'll wrap things up here on the Gym Class on KGYM.
The great thing about they're proven, like the fact that crude oil contains impurities, or that base oil made from natural gas is 99.5% free of impurities, and the fact that Pennzoil is the first synthetic motor oil made from natural gas, not crude oil. It gives you unbeatable engine protection. The proof is in the Pennzoil. Based on Sequence 4A wear test using SAE 5W30. Ask for it at Advanced Auto Parts and participating CarQuest locations.
Where is your haircut gone? We know you don't get out as much. You don't drive by your regular sport clips and pop in for that MVP haircut experience that is so much more than a haircut. But isn't it worth getting out for? For that legendary hot steam towel for your face, massaging shampoo that makes you melt into your seat. Oh man, you remember that, right? We found your haircut. It's right where you left it. Sport Clips. It's good to be a guy.
Oh, O'Reilly.
It's Superstart Battery Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. That means you can get up to a $25 gift card after mail-in rebate with the purchase of your Superstart battery. Return power, performance, and reliability to your car, truck, motorcycle, and more with Superstart batteries, only at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
And now a game of Commercial Chicken, brought to you by Progressive, where we see how long Flo can go without talking about insurance. Ready? Go.
Okay, so, did you see that game the other day? The refs, right? I mean, come on. They were totally out to get us. That always happens to our team. Drivers who switch to Progressive can save big.
Okay, you win. We can't help but save customers money. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates.
Welcome back for the last portion of the Gym Class today on KGYM. I'm Mark Dukes, and Todd Brommelkamp, kind enough to sit in with me today and co-hosting, producing, and in the meantime, getting ready for his show with Alex Kuhn that comes up from 4 to 6. Baseball going on right now, the American League Division Series. Last I looked, 3-0. What inning did you see, Todd?
I believe they are in the third. It is early there. It was a three-run home run by Manny Margot of the Tampa Bay Rays. So they are staking themselves to an early lead today, and they, of course, won game one. So it would be a two-game lead. It's the top of the third inning.
It's kind of unfair to ask this, but especially since this is game two, but going into this thing and knowing the division matchups, who'd you like?
Well, I had the A's and the Dodgers originally when we looked at the brackets, and I don't think many people had the Astros getting this far. And now you have the tantalizing idea of an Astros-Dodgers rematch in the World Series. I don't think it's going to happen. I think the Rays are the better team. They're the number one seed for a reason here. They're a tremendously well-built, fundamentally sound baseball team, but on the other hand, you've got this Astros team that I think sandbagged a little bit during a 60-game season. They looked at the expanded postseason and felt that they would have a really good chance of getting in if they just played 500 baseball, and they've taken it up a notch. You're a Twins fan. You saw it during that series. They looked like a completely different team in the postseason than they did the 60 games prior.
Now, in the National League, which we'll have tonight after the Cyclone sideline show on 1600 and 102.3 FM, I was impressed with the Braves. They kind of flew under the radar, in my mind, when you talked about National League teams that could win and go to the World Series. Not many mentioned the Braves, but let's face facts. The only team that's going to maybe defeat the Dodgers are the Dodgers themselves. Isn't that right?
Yeah. I mean, they're the only team that could stand in their way. They make some mistakes, or Dave Roberts makes a bad call here or there managing that team, but they're the prohibitive favorite. I went to make the poll question baseball-related today, and I thought there's no real way you can do this surrounding matchups or who's going to get there, because the Dodgers are their prohibitive favorite. And I think a Dodgers-Rays World Series would be great, and a Dodgers-Astros World Series would be great for obvious other reasons.
Dwayne on the text line, I'm going to have to do this, Dwayne. Thanks for the suggestion in regards to Mike Halas's comment starting so late in the season. I quickly looked up an 1891 Iowa Hawkeye Wikipedia page. That was a crazy season. Well, I'll trust you on that right now, Dwayne, but that's on my homework list after the show. But, you know, nobody wants the Astros to win. after what happened last season.
Well, BJ and Marion does.
BJ and Marion does.
There are some Astros fans here. My friend Al worked for them for a number of years down in Houston, so there are some people who want to see him win. Not a whole lot, though.
Well, we'll see what happens, and stay tuned to KGYM Radio and listen to as many games as we possibly can. Again tonight, the Chargers-Saints on 106.3 and 107.5. That'll start with the pregame at 6:30. I want to thank Mike Loss for joining us again on this Monday bullpen session of the gym class. Thank you, Todd, for sitting in. We'll see what happens tomorrow. And
I may be here. It may be Buttons, but it will not be Scott Unash.
That's true. Scott will be back on Wednesday. Look forward to his return. Look forward to another session of the gym class tomorrow. Appreciate you tuning in today and every day. Stay tuned for the Todd Bromelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn.